Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we introduce you to Jimmy Hazelton, co-founder of the Grass League. You're sure to find out what that is as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we have circled back and found a great guest for this show. Now, those that listen to the show know that we've been friends with John Ashworth for a long time. Ash is, of course, on the wall of fame when it comes to apparel. But he also is a golf course owner and manager with Goat Hill Park, and he's into a lot of things. And recently, he had this company come in, this league come in to hit Goat Hill Park and put on this tournament. And we're talking to Ash, and we called him afterwards to see how it went. He said, it went fantastic, at least as good as I thought it was going to, maybe even better. Well, I'm talking about a tournament put on by the Grass League. If you haven't heard of them, you're going to hear about them this hour because I have one of the masterminds with us on the show, and it is Jimmy Hazelton. He and his brother and a couple other crazy people got together and decided, hey, let's start this outdoor nighttime par three golf league and have franchises around the country and go from there. Did I get close, Jimmy? First of all, welcome to the show.
You nailed it. And thank you for having me. And I'm excited to talk golf and anything else you want to chat about. So appreciate being on here.
Anybody with a name like Hazelton, you know, it was meant to be. That's all I have to say, Jimmy. It just, you know.
I mean, I can tell you it was a tough high school last name, you know. 14-year-old immature high school golfers chirping at me, hitting it off the hosel, but I got through it.
Yeah, good. Good job on that. So you are a player. You play currently, and obviously you played. Did you play in high school and college, or What was your journey like?
Yeah, so played golf my entire life. Probably played in my first tournament, you know, around 5 or 6 years old. And yes, did play in high school. Managed to have a couple good years and win a state title in Arizona. And didn't get the offers I wanted for college, and actually had a shoulder injury that prevented me from playing college golf. So did not play in college, but, you know, halfway through college, kind of picked it, jumped back into it, and tried to give it a run professionally. Played 4-ish years on the mini tours, going through Q schools, and ultimately, you know, didn't make it and decided to caddy 1 year on the PGA Tour for a buddy. And that was, as far as my competitive golf career goes, that was kind of it. But I still love the game, and whenever I can play, I'm always ready to go.
Well, I've been fortunate to do this show for a long time and had some great guests over the years and met some people I never would have in a regular life without doing this show. Golf is this great thing. It brings everybody together from all walks of life, of musicians and regular people and actors, and everybody wants to play golf. They want to play it at the highest level. So when did you guys get together, you and your brother and the others, and say, we should form this league and we should put it outside and have it be a par three?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it could be a long answered question, so feel free to cut me off if I keep going.
No, you know, you got plenty of time.
But I'll tell you, before the league was a thing, the first thing we said, my brother and I, and our crazy partners, as you would say, is why is there not night golf in Arizona? You could argue that, you know, Phoenix, Arizona is the capital of golf in the United States. Maybe Florida, California's good, Texas, but I mean, if you look at where all the tour guys live, and just a great 12-month season, it's Arizona. And so that was kind of the first, that was the first thing that hit, is it was around 2020. You know, we were, the world was going through it with COVID, and we were sitting around, and you know, we had created the brand Grass Clippings prior to 2020, and but when COVID hit, we were sitting around and we said, man, like, there really needs to be night golf in Arizona. And I'll give credit to Jake, younger brother, CEO of our company. And, you know, that's hard for me to do, giving credit to the little bro. But he said, all right, well, let's do it. And he really got us, you know, off the couch. And we said, where can we deliver night golf in Arizona? And so we literally got in the car with masks on at the time. And, you know, you don't know what the next day was going to bring you, you know, March of 2020. And we started driving around looking for property to build a night golf course. And so we landed at a few different spots that didn't work out, and ultimately found a place called Rolling Hills, which is in North Tempe. And it's a municipal golf course owned by the city of Tempe. And it's been there since 1960 and hasn't been doing great. Kind of run down, needed some life to it. So we went to the mayor and said, hey, we've got an idea. Night golf should be in Arizona. How about at your spot? What do you say? And he responded quickly and said, that's a great idea. And so there was this three-year process of putting a proposal together to pitch to the city to ultimately take over Rolling Hills, which is now called Grass Clippings Rolling Hills, to deliver this, you know, one-of-a-kind golf venue was our vision. And that means, you know, more than golf. Let's put the lights up. You can play till 2 a.m., but let's create a driving range where you can host parties. Let's create an outdoor venue where you can have rehearsal dinners and weddings. Let's create a 15,000 square foot putting green, and a brand new restaurant and a place for music. Let's create a awesome golf, night golf destination. So I'll pause there. That was the start of what ultimately led into the Grass League.
All right. So I've been fortunate to play par three built by Bo Welling down in Frisco. And yep. It was 109 back for the PGA Merchandise Show during the day. And they said, oh, don't worry. The sun goes down. It's going to cool off. And I think it got to 103. But it was really an interesting experience. And I enjoyed it. And the music wasn't what you're talking about and thing, but the environment was golf, and it was at night, and it was a different experience, and there was a lot of energy. So I got a quick lesson on what night golf and par three golf, more specifically. I played a lot of munis over my time, and I've played a lot of executive courses and par threes. So to have that experience was first for me, and it was very, very interesting. It has stuck with me. So you guys have a great idea. You come in, you do that, okay, and you get things going. So where does it turn from, hey, we've done this at one course, to all of a sudden we want to start a league?
Yep. That's the next part and a great question. So, we basically negotiated a deal with the city, and as we realized it was most likely we were going to take over this course, we said, hey, if we do pull this off, you know, I think the next missing piece is a real par three golf league, like high stakes par three golf league. And so we knew if we got the venue that we could potentially pull this off. And so, you know, as a golfer, you know, like I said, played a long time, my whole life. And then as I turned pro, there's not many opportunities, not many platforms to take a stab at making a career out of golf. And so we said, you know, with Top Golf and all these great things going on in golf, you know, how about we create a platform for all different types of folks playing the game, pro, am, male, female, shorten the course, faster, under the lights, music, more exciting, and create a platform for, you know, all different types of people to play the game on and potentially use it as a stepping stone to go to the PGA Tour or continue your path as a seasoned amateur golfer or whatever it may be. That's the beauty of par three golf is it doesn't matter your age or your gender. You can play from the same tees for the same price, for the same purse, you know, in the league and compete. And there's really no other sport that offers it. And so when we got the course, we said, here we go. Let's create the grass league. And here we are today. We're about, you know, a year and a half, 2 years into the grass league.
Of which we'll talk about throughout the hour is Jimmy Hoselton, the Grass League co-founder, is spending the time with us on TW Keith Jones. And it's fascinating. The story is fascinating. The journey is fascinating. But you've really just kind of scratched the edge of the surface because the growth potential for something like this is pretty awesome.
It is. And we're seeing a great response right out the gate. So if you're not familiar with the Grass League, there's 11 franchises. Basically, like you said, before I joined, we sold 11 franchises to different brands, individuals, celebrities, around the United States, to really the core of grass of the league. So, Dave Roberts, the, manager of the Dodgers at the LA Roses and Good Good Golf, which is arguably the largest followed YouTube content creators in the world, bought the Dallas Horsemen. And so we created these 11 franchises and launched the league in 2024. And just in this short time, you know, we have a tremendous amount of sponsors jumping on board. We have a deal with NBC Golf Channel, you know, so our next tournament will be live on Golf Channel. And you're watching par three golf, you know, on the Golf Channel, under the lights in primetime. That was another huge thing for us is a lot of times golf is finishing while you still have your cup of coffee in your hand, right? So let's bring the sport to primetime. And so, yeah, to your point, I don't even think we've seen a fraction of the growth that's about to come. And the last thing I would add is the players. You know, without the players, there's no league, and you should see the energy behind these guys and gals of all ages. And like I mentioned, pro, am, and the format is always two-person scramble, all par threes. But the energy behind the players, it's fascinating. They get off the course, and you do interviews, and they're like, this is really the most fun I've ever had playing golf, competing. And so, yeah, to your point, I think we haven't even seen the tremendous growth that's about to happen in the coming years.
Well, Jimmy, golf has certainly transitioned over the last handful of years, if not a little bit longer than that, because you have a lot more entertainment value to golf than there ever was. You look at the LIV Tour, or you look at TGL, or even if you look at, you mentioned Top Golf and such. Most in that situation, usually it's people with clubs who've had some drinks, and that's not always the best combination there. But we'll leave that for when we come back, because I'm sure there's probably some drinking going on at the Grass League tournaments as well. As we're with Jimmy Hoselton, he is the co-founder of the Grass League, and we'll be back because he's spending the hour with us. We're very fortunate to have Jimmy with us, and we'll break it down even more when we come back.
Hello, kiddies. This is Alice Cooper, and I'm going to tee it up with Keith Jones.
And we are back, and Jimmy Houselton of the Grass League is with us this hour, explaining what the heck is going on. Based out of Phoenix, Arizona, these guys have touched on something that is really where golf has gone. It's about participation. It's about opportunity. It's just about having fun. You know, you've heard this for years, and you probably even heard this when you're trying to play collegiately and professionally. You know, your caddy or your advisor says, you know, Jimmy, just go out there and have fun playing. Well, golf is a four-letter word for a reason, Jimmy, and it's not always fun.
No, it's not. And on a personal level, that was probably my biggest issue playing my entire life, is I just put so much pressure on myself. And looking back, I wish I could have, you know, like you said, go have fun. It's just it's not all that easy sometimes. You know, especially as if in competitive golf, you just want it so bad, and the more you want it, the further away you get from it. So tough game, but humbling game. We always come walking back to it.
Yeah, I think back to a couple of my friends. I haven't talked to Mike McRory in a long time. He made it out on the tour finally. But Mark Murphy went through a lot of that, because good player. He won the Big Break Ireland on the Golf Channel,
yeah,
and good things are coming his way. And now he's instructing, which is not a bad thing. It's a decent way to make a living. But he thought he would have turned professional and been very successful out there. But there's so many speed bumps, so many bumps in the road, if you will, along that journey.
For sure, and that was one of our one of the reasons to, you know, to start the Grass League is, you know, you hit speed bumps, and maybe you hit the bump and you veer off to the Grass League, and we have opportunity for you. You could go play a couple tournaments, make enough money to, you know, hopefully, you know, the goal is to play on the Grass League full season. But as we're growing here, hit that speed bump, jump into the Grass League, have some fun, tune up your game, and make some real money to continue on playing. So that certainly inspired us in the early days to give another platform for all these golfers out there.
No, I mentioned Spike McRory. He's a guy I got to know. He was playing the developmental tours and finally got his PGA Tour card. And the funniest thing he said to me was, Keith, I said, what's the difference, Spike, between where you were playing and playing on the tour? And it's like, I open my locker and people give me stuff, you know, it's you know, because the guys that need it are not the guys on the PGA Tour or on LIV or whatever, the big professional tours, right? They can afford anything at all. These poor guys coming up playing the Korn Ferry or the Nike or the Ben Hogan or whatever developmental league you want to mention, which is a lot of times the same thing, just rebranded. You know, it's a tough go. I mean, we've covered a lot of tournaments over the years and a number of them from the developmental tours, because those guys don't get the exposure. And you meet some fantastic people. And players, really good players, sit there going like, I wish my game was a quarter as good as your game is. And it's just, you know, it's just a different level of game. You're thinking, how are these guys not on the big tour? And it comes down to a numbers game. And now, especially with the PGA Tour, you used to be able to go to Q School and get your tour card, and it's all changed.
For sure.
You know, you get your card, but you don't get on the big tour. You get on developmental tour. It's like, this is where I didn't want to be.
No, 100%. I want to touch on the exposure thing you just mentioned. Another awesome opportunity at the Grass League, right, with social media and the team aspect and all the cameras behind Grass League is, you know, we're living in a day where, you know, people can make a living through social media on their channels, right? Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. And so I think that's another huge opportunity with Grass League is players can come out and make a name for them, their own brand, right? And have a moment that goes viral at Grass League. In today's world, it only takes one great moment to go viral, and it can change your life. And so we're super focused on the media side and the providing a platform to get these players recognized in ways they want to. So that's something that's super fun and exciting and in the works at Grass League. But you see it every tournament. You know, someone has a hole-in-one and the video goes viral, and next thing you know, he's got a clothing deal with whoever it may be. So those little things are hopefully going to turn into bigger opportunities, but it's fun to watch those moments for those players.
Oh, absolutely. And again, giving a platform, and this show is a great example of that, as we're talking to Jimmy Hoselton, co-founder of the Grass League, on TW Keith Jones. Getting ready to head to the bottom of the hour, but Jimmy's spending the rest of the time with us. Lots more info and fun coming your way.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter. The Lama. Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
And we're back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Jimmy Hoselton. He is one of a number of crazy guys that got together and said, hey, let's start this league. I know we're pretty good golfers. Let's go out and let's ask people of influence to buy a franchise. This league has currently 11 franchises, as Jimmy mentioned earlier in the show. Canada even has as a franchise. But there are two in the L.A. area, Hollywood Hitters and L.A. Roses, the Los Angeles Roses. Of course, San Diego's in there with the Munis. Scottsdale, which is real close to where the headquarters are for Grass League, has the Strikers. Phoenix has one, so there's two in Arizona, obviously. The Phoenix United, Dallas Horsemen, Tampa Bay Swamp Dogs. I'm loving some of these names. The New York Bluebirds, the Michigan Auto Aces, and the Minnesota Muskies. Now, I'm not sure anybody I know that plays golf wants to be associated with a fish while they're doing it, but apparently they want to do that. So, Jimmy, you develop this league, and you go to people and say, hey, you can buy a franchise. You can buy this, and you got a guy like Dave Roberts, who actually has a winery to go along with everything else, but, you know, he's a smart enough guy, business guy, and been with the Dodgers as their manager since 2016. Guy knows a little bit about sports and other things, but he's a very prominent name in sports in general. So when you have a guy like that, it gives instant credibility. But how do you get a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think, first off, Dave Roberts is one of the greatest guys in the world. And so he's an easy one to chat to. But he's a businessman. And, yeah, it's a great question. How do you get these guys? I just think, you know, the vision – when we first sat down and timing is everything, the vision was there. If you're a golfer, you know, there's not many places to play the sport. And so when you really look at that, I think the market's open for more leagues like this to work. And, you know, this was, you know, now 4 years ago. And so, sitting down with them, it sounded crazy. Like you said, the crazy guys sit down and pitch this thing. But when you get under the lights and you break it down, it didn't seem too crazy, right? It's just a new sports league structured just like any of the major, you know, three or four leagues like the NBA, NFL. We have a rev share. And so the business model is attractive to an entrepreneur. And if you love sports and you like the team aspect, something else that golf's missing, right? There's the Ryder Cup's one of the greatest events in sports, but golf doesn't have that. And so I think the whole package, the business plan, and if you enjoy the sport and you want to help be a part of growing the sport and you want to create a team environment, people, it was a pretty quick yes for a lot of these early franchise owners.
What is the business model?
I mean, how much time do we have?
Well, you got at least 15, 20 minutes of this segment, so you got an. I'll make time. We make time for our guests because the information is that valuable to people, and we like to learn stuff along the way too, Jimmy. So go ahead.
I love it. Well, it's a we structured it just like any major sports league. Like I said, the NBA, for example. So. But if we really get down into it, it's a long conversation, but the cool part is sponsorships and media, and all the teams participating in a rev share. So, as we get media deals and sponsorships, that money goes into the company. And then at the end of the year, gets spit out to all the franchise owners. And we have something called the, Gila River Resorts and Casinos point race. And so these teams are competing. They're competing for purses throughout the year, but they're also competing for the most points, kind of like the FedEx Cup, at the end of the year. And the winner of the most points gets the largest share of the rev share at the end of the year. And so opportunity to make money in purses, media, sponsorships and so on, and we're starting to see it, you know, here in just the second year of operating.
So I'll take a franchise and look at the Hollywood Hitters, and there's a guy named Marty Fish who likes to play a lot of golf. Sure. You know, he's supposed to be playing tennis, but he likes to play a lot of golf. And you know,
celebrity tennis player. Decent tennis player.
Oh yeah, exactly. But you know, he plays in Tahoe at that big event, and he loves golf. He loves the competition because that's what professional athletes do from that standpoint.
Yep.
So he brings a little bit of name value to the league. So it's easy to see why he would buy a franchise because he gets to play automatically from that standpoint. But how do you choose your athletes to your golfers to play on a given team? Is that done through with the league's input and then the ownership, or is that strictly for the ownership?
No, it's a great question. So at the start of the year, we have a huge qualifier. Anyone's welcome to sign up, come to the qualifier. This year we just did one, but next year in 2026, which breaking news, no one knows, we'll have a nationwide local qualifiers, kind of like the USGA format where you go local and then jump into sectionals and you ultimately have an opportunity to get in the US Open. But for example, this year we had one large qualifier, which was open to anyone that wanted to participate at the start of the year at our golf course at Grass Clippings, Rolling Hills, and Tempe. So 100 two-person teams competed, and we took the top 25 qualified. And the next night, there was a draft at our, which we believe is the first official golf draft in the history of the sport. That took place earlier this year before the start of the season. All the franchise owners gathered together. Archie Bradley hosted it. Pate Spiranek was co-host, and just like you see in the NBA or in the NFL, our commissioner rolled up there with the first pick in the 2025 Grass League draft. The Swamp Dogs select, and they pick the first team. And so if you qualified, you got to go to the draft, and teams selected two-person teams to join their team. Then the franchise owners have the right to pick any team they want, four different two-person teams. So you have a total of six two-person teams on your roster. So you start with the draft, and then you can go out and recruit players how you like. And we've seen franchises do it in all different ways, right? We saw Phoenix United sent out a flyer. If you're a legit golfer, sign up for our qualifier, and you know the top however many individuals will get a spot on our team. We've had other teams, you know, calling agents, trying to get LPGA players, and they successfully done that. And in the championship last year, we had three of the top 50 LPGA players in the world in that championship. Allison Lee went to a playoff. And so I think that's the creative and fun part as a GM or owner of a franchise is you get to go to the draft, you pick your players, but then you're also out there recruiting players and trading players to sign contracts on your franchise.
So the owners will make their picks at the draft. And then
correct.
What about the guys that have already been on the squad? What happens with them?
So this was the first draft, right? And so I guess to answer your question, each team can do it differently. You're just like you see in the NBA, right? Like you saw, or the NFL, we signed Kyler Murray to a 5-year contract for X amount of dollars. The teams have the right to sign players for however many years they want. So, and then there's a free agency period. So we're seeing a lot of these teams sign some of their best players for a couple years to play on the franchise. And then other players get signed tournament by tournament and can get dropped. And there's like a player portal activity feed on the website. So if you go on grassleague.com, you can see that the Tampa Bay Swamp Dogs drop so-and-so, and then technically a GM or owner could see that, make a call, sign them to their team. And so it's the players are moving around, and GMs are constantly looking for the next best player.
It's very, very fluid. Obviously, we're talking to Jimmy Houselton, co-founder of the Grass League. I'd still call it a new league. I mean, if it's only one season old, even though you've been in development for a handful of years, would you still call it a new league?
Yeah, I mean, we had our first two tournaments. We hosted two tournaments in 2024. Teams were still closing. Some were unbranded. It certainly was the start of the Grass League, but in my opinion, this is the first official full season in the Grass League. So yes, very much new.
All right, good, because we like to get in on the ground floor. So, like, you know,
you're right there. You're right there. We're sitting on the ground together.
Yeah, but I feel that a little of that. Yes, I do, from a standpoint. And your ground is a little warmer than mine these days. But yeah, when you look at the teams, and now you have 11, which is an uneven number. Yep. How do you develop it? When do teams come together? I mean, there must be a window, because if an owner comes in the middle of the season and says, "Oh, I want to start a franchise," I don't see how he's able to slide it in, or he's got to wait till the next beginning of the season.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. You know what? You're pretty good at this. You got the good questions down. You've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
At least a year or two. Yes, at least like the Grass League. I've been doing this for a year or two. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I do think my interview skills are second to none, but I do have guys on the other side of the glass that are, you know, shaking their heads in different directions. So it just depends. but thank you for that. Thank you for that nice. Nice compliment or
no,
two.
This is awesome.
Yeah. So
no, so to answer your question, we actually are, so 11 teams, we are in the process of selling the first expansion team in the league right now. There will be a new team in the Grass League by the end of this month.
Ooh, there we go. More breaking news. There you go. Breaking news. To narrow it down, because right now you are kind of across the country, there are some places that are going to be a little more receptive to be able to pull this off from a franchise standpoint than others. So what region are we considering?
Yes, great question. So what we did a few months ago is we had an RFP, an open RFP to the public. So if you happen to... You know, if our marketing was good enough and it reached you, you could have submitted an application to be the next franchise owner. And that process really allowed an open process for that individual to submit what region, city or state they wanted, the team that would be behind it, who's going to GM it, who's going to own it, who's going to market it, who's running the social, how are you going to recruit your players, what does your branding look like, why this name, why that name, why these colors. So you had an opportunity to fill this thing out and submit it. And that just closed September 5th was the last day to submit. And so we are currently in the process of reviewing these proposals, and we're down to, five really, really, thoughtful and strategic and, exciting proposals that we will shortlist tomorrow that will go to two, and we'll ultimately pick one. Since we're doing some breaking news and, it seems like a good time to kind of see, I think you asked, you know, what city. Some of the proposals we saw were from Vegas, Florida, Atlanta. Where else did we have one? I think we had one from Texas and then New Orleans.
Interesting. So what's the buy-in? Because we do try to do our little bit of research on this show, at least a little bit, so we sound semi-intelligent. I've heard word that depending on who is buying the franchise, the terms can vary.
That's not accurate.
Okay. That's why I'm asking you.
We have not... you know, we treat everyone the same, and we have not cut a deal to anyone. You know, in the early stages, there were moments and meetings and negotiating where, hey, we'll give you X amount of money, but because we're so-and-so and because we have this platform, because we have that, you know, we'll give you a little cash, but this is going to offset it. And we've done it. I'll give Jake, our CEO, a lot of credit here. Since day one, we have not cut a deal for anyone. Doesn't matter who you are. So, we sold those 11 franchises. And like you mentioned, there's some big hitters in the league. Wyndham Clark bought the San Diego team, U.S. Open winner, Dave Roberts and, you know, Ben Herman and, Roger Ehrenberg, a big player out of New York City. And so everyone has been treated the same, and that's the same approach we're taking as we review these proposals this week for this expansion.
So what is the buy-in?
So originally the buy-in for the first franchise ever sold was sold at $160,000. And that has increased a little bit over time, and certainly you know, I'm not going to mention a number here for crazy breaking news, but that number has increased quite a bit.
Okay, so we'll just pull a number and say 250,000 to get a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so you and the CEO must be really convincing guys, and you sound like a stand-up guy, first of all, but to go to somebody and say, okay, you need to give us this amount of money to then go and have to develop your team and spend more money to do that.
Totally.
So not that you're going to give away a lot of sales secrets and everything else. I'm not looking for that. But how does that happen? How are you able to turn that key?
I'll tell you, we've worked our tail off.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll get the full answer when we come back from this break. We'll be back.
All right. This is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.
Back for our final segment of the show. It's been a pleasure to spend time with Jimmy Haselden, co-founder of the Grass League. And before we went to the break, we asked him about the secret sauce to get somebody to buy a franchise for a lot of zeros. And now Jimmy has 5.5 minutes to tell us the secrets.
Thank you. Can't give out all my sales secrets.
That's what I said. I wasn't expecting you to. It's a good idea, and you know, why let somebody? Yeah, people try. You know, they say that imitation is flattery. I disagree with that. You know, to somebody being lazy and using somebody else's idea, and that happens a lot in the golf industry. Not that you don't know that already.
For sure, and this is something new, and I think that was certainly part of it, right? But I think I'll give credit to our team. We've worked our tail off, I'll tell you that, and we believe in our product, and we're trustworthy human beings, and we will that's the start of it. But I think if you look at what has happened to the franchise model, right? Like you see sailing teams going for $25 million. I saw a pickle league team go for $13 million last week. I saw, and so there's all these different types of leagues popping up. There was a lacrosse league with teams selling for, I think, north of $50 million. Don't quote me on that, but like a crazy number, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think if you look at all the leagues and all the goofy sports that these leagues are popping in, and you step back and you go, hey, this is golf. And you and I talked about it earlier. Everyone, like, golf is huge, and we're not messing with the sport. We're not trying to reinvent the sport, right? It's still the same ball. It's still the 4 inches and a quarter hole that you're hitting to. It's just all par threes. And so I think that was an attractive piece, right? We're not creating some new sport, asking you to put $250K in and hope that this sport works. We're simply taking one of the greatest sports in the world and just tweaking it a little bit, all par threes under the lights, and having fun with it. And so I think as a business person out there, as a sports person, that was like a very attractive piece. Is there's some very successful leagues out there, you know, like I said, diving or sailing or lacrosse, that are doing well. So golf seems like a home run because we're not messing with the sport. So I think that was one of the you know, one of my first pitches is, hey, I'm not creating a new sport here. We're going to simply add on to what I think is the greatest sport in the world.
Yeah, unlike the TGL, which is simulator golf, right? It's like, okay, you guys are the top of the pros, and you're using simulators to pretend like you're playing golf. You know what I'm saying?
100%. Hey, I do, and I was going to mention that as well. And I believe those teams started at $75 million. And so you got guys that play on the PGA Tour that are hitting into a screen that are then putting on fake grass, and people rallied around buying teams for $75 million. So I think our pitch was like, hey, listen, this is outdoors, real golf, under the lights, fun, entertainment, food, music, top, top, top elite golfers in the world. Do you want to own a franchise and try to do this thing with us? And the feedback was obviously very positive, with 11 teams selling very quickly and a 12th on the way.
All right, Jimmy, so you mentioned you get a next franchise coming up, and it's going to happen pretty soon. How fast or how quickly do you want to, or do you think the league will grow?
Another great question. I think we're super excited about this 12th team to come on. We'll announce it here in a few weeks, probably sometime in the next month or so. And they'll go through a branding process, and then they'll start competing in 2026. I think one of the main things we wanted to do is, rather than just sell a bunch of teams and then try to start operating a league, is let's take our time. Let's get 11 or 12 great teams, and let's really start playing golf, right? Let's create a great league. Let's do the media right. We're trying to grow our YouTube. We're trying to have strategic partners behind this league. We don't want to just partner with someone because they have money. It needs to make sense for us. It needs to make sense for them. So let's take our time and really build it patiently and strategically, and then increase the value of the leagues and the existing franchises.
Well, we are totally intrigued and enamored Jimmy Hazleton, thanks so much for coming on the show. He's Grass League co-founder. We're just out of time. Get out there and practice your game. You can get there too. Practice, practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.